Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Gary King and his family and friends. And we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is JoyceBarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner, and then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
We are honored to have with us today Gary King, the author of The Happiness Formula. Most people spend their whole life searching for happiness. However, most people cannot define it, let alone find it. Gary King's lifetime of experiences, tragedies, and triumphs, and over 30 years of worldwide research has enabled him to discover the truth about happiness and create a formula for achieving it. His new book, The Happiness Formula, is the owner's manual for a healthy, happy, thriving life. Gary King is a speaker, author, and successful entrepreneur whose background is diverse and exhilarating, including powerboat racing, internationally known artist and sculptor, honored by President Bill Clinton and General Manager and Vice President of Sales and Marketing in the television industry. Gary's life story is filled with amazing home runs and the worst strikeouts imaginable, yet he ventures forward with the heart and soul of a victor. Voltaire said, "I choose to be happy because it is good for my health." Today, we ask that you choose to listen to this show to be much happier, much more of the time. Welcome to our show, Gary King, with breaking news about your new book.
Hi, Joyce. Well, it's just a great honor and pleasure to be on your show, and definitely the best day of my life.
Glad to hear it. That's why I do these shows every day. We like to make a difference, and the people on our show are our partners in making a difference, one person and one positive action at a time.
Absolutely.
We're so happy to have you with us today.
And I'm equally as happy to be on your show.
So what do you want to tell us to start about why you created this book and what it meant to you? And then we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty about the component parts.
Okay. What I did for the last 25 years specifically, I worked in the personal development industry worldwide. I actually was a subcontractor and a consultant to Tony Robbins. So I traveled internationally for 25 years, and in that 25-year period, 6 million people filtered through our worldwide seminars. During that time period, I did presentations, I did interventions, but I also did a tremendous amount of interviews with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people, asking them specific questions. Like, you spent a lot of money to come here to the seminar. Why did you do that? And their answer was, "I want to change my life." And I said, "That's great. Into what? What would you like to change it into?" And they'd think and they'd think and they'd say, "Well, I want to be more successful." I said, "But that's very interesting. Could you give me your definition of success? Give me a definition." And the more questions I asked, the more confused they got. The definition of success was a very confusing question. And the answer, finally, with almost everybody I asked it, the answer was money. I want to make more money. And I said, "Okay, so what I take from your response is you believe somewhere, somehow, that money equals happiness. But you're really here to figure out how to be happy. That's why you really came here." So from all that, and from the interventions and all the interactions I had, there were thousands of interventions, stage interventions done, and I listened to them all, and I noticed that every person, no matter what the situation, if it was relationship-related, health-related, addiction-related, you name it, there were three things, significant things, that were missing from the person's life, which is how I developed the formula. That and my own challenges, which is why I wrote the book. And the book is modeled in a way after a very famous and well-known book written by Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. So a third of the book is autobiographical, explaining my challenges and what I did about those challenges. And as you know, many of those challenges in many people's lives are insurmountable. So that is how I did it. And then, of course, along the way, I read 2,200 to 2,400 books, all nonfiction, all related to personal development, inspirational, psychology, human behavior, all centered around those subjects to figure out exactly how and why humans do what they do.
I did see that in your bio that you read 2,200 books, but I had the thought, how would he possibly know how many books he read? If someone said, "How many books did you read in a lifetime?" I have no idea. How could you have come up with a number?
Well, periodically, my library gets so big, I have to load tubs and tubs and tubs of books and take them to local either Goodwill or used bookstores. And yes, I didn't count them one by one, but I can tell you I'm probably being conservative on 2,200. In my office right now where I'm talking to you from, I have a limited amount in my office, and there's probably, I don't know, 300 or 400 that I'm looking at right now on bookshelves in my office.
Then I have to ask you, are you a speed reader per se?
No, I am not a speed reader.
Because I graduated the Evelyn Woods School for speed reading. I got my certificate. I passed all the tests on speed reading, but I don't enjoy it. I'm someone who loves to read, and reading with my finger as a marker, speed reading down the page, I don't enjoy reading like that. So
no, I
know
either.
That I can do it, but I don't enjoy it.
No, I don't. I don't either. And I actually, a friend of mine teaches speed reading, and he taught me something very interesting about books. He said when a person goes into a bookstore to buy a book, they have already, in most cases, especially if it's in personal development, they've already made a decision as to what they're looking for, what they want to find inside that book. So, and that has definitely been the case with me. I mean, I can tell you quotes from people's books that I read years ago that were meaningful to me. But yeah, I digest the book, and I typically read 6 books at one time.
Oh my God. So how do you manage to do that?
Well,
the most
day,
I've ever done was 2 at a time. But how do you manage 6 at a time?
Well, I'll carry 1 or 2 books with me every day. If I go to breakfast in a restaurant or lunch, I've got a book with me at all times. I'm reading a book now called Awareness. Who wrote Awareness? I can't remember, but I carry that with me. I carry several books with me.
Do you use Kindle, Gary?
No, I don't.
Kindle?
No, I
well,
don't.
That's
matter
what
of fact,
I thought...
People laugh at me, Joyce. I walk into a place and I carry a flip phone. And they go, seriously, you have a flip phone? Let me guess. You're also on AOL, aren't you? And I go, well, of course I am.
Oh, my God, a man after my own heart. I'm on AOL. And I bought the smartphone 2 years ago, as I told you. It's sitting in a drawer because
sure.
I don't know how to use it yet. So I use my sister's flip phone to text and whatever. It's funny that the AOL goes together with the flip phone. Yep, that's me.
And I am literally, as I'm talking to you, sitting at my desk looking at my, what you would call an iPhone, that I bought brand new and have never used, and I'm looking at it right now, laying on my desk.
Well, then, like me, you don't have a 4-year-old nearby, close by, to help you out.
That's correct. That's right.
Well, first of all, I want to say we're honored to have the breaking news that your book is only out a few months, and with a first radio show to let it be known to people. So I'm very excited about that. I have the book sitting right here, and it's a great book, and I'm excited to share it with our friends. But let's get into some nitty-gritty things. How do you create healthy relationships? That's one of, as a coach, I certainly know that that's something that people struggle with a lot, lots of marital counselors, all of that. So what do you tell people about creating healthy relationships?
This is almost weekly I do this. This is great. So I have people come to me all the time. I speak at a lot of women's retreats. I do all kinds of things like that. And people talk to me about relationships. And the first thing I do, and I do this everywhere, in restaurants, every place. Do you have a pen? Yeah. I said, okay, take a piece of paper. And here's what I'd like you to do. Write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down the left-hand side of the piece of paper. And I go, now, and I do this with people who are married, who are in a relationship, or who are not and want to be in one. And I do this from the stage, and I've done it for years. I go, okay, so I'm going to give you this exercise. I'm going to explain this exercise to you, and I'm going to tell you that there are no wrong or right answers. So what I'd like you to do in order of importance, I would like you to write down the top five qualities you look for in a person you want to date, be in a relationship with, ultimately marry. So you have 60 seconds to write down the top five qualities in order of importance. When I do this in front of a live audience, I should have to pay a entertainment fee to watch the people do this exercise live. Half of the audience is staring at the ceiling, and I go, excuse me, there's nothing written up there. So I do this all the time with people, and here's how it turns out. Here's the result. So here's what people write down. In most cases, people write down attributes or compatibility factors, like financially successful, likes to snow ski, likes red wine, likes to travel, good sense of humor. This is what is normally written down, okay? And so if I do it with a live audience, I take two or three samples, two or three females, two or three males, and I get them to stand up and read their list. Well, the lists are interesting to say the very least, but they're also an enormous insight and wake-up call, because after two or three examples, I go, okay, who wrote honesty on your list? And nobody raises their hand. Who wrote emotionally available on your list? Nobody raises their hand. And what's really interesting about this exercise is it's extremely revealing, and it is a way to literally shift a person's consciousness within a 5-minute exercise. You'll see, as the old saying goes, you can't unring the bell. Well, once people have done that, and I'll ask women, I go, well, ladies, none of you wrote emotionally available on your list, but is it holler out if it's true you cannot have a healthy relationship without emotional availability. And, of course, every woman in the room shouts out, yes, that's true. Well, you didn't have it on your list, which means it's not within your conscious awareness when you're choosing a person. You're choosing a person based on things that are not foundational for a relationship. They're not foundations. They are simply pleasure factors. That's all they are. Because you can't build anything. If there's no honesty, then there's no trust. If there's no trust, there's no relationship. It just becomes pleasure seeking.
I'm curious, because the first thing that would be on my list, I was laughing because I can just visualize the whole scene, that's really important to me is a sense of humor. I love the people that we can just laugh at everything.
Sure.
Has that been a popular attribute?
Absolutely. But what happens is there's five of those kinds of attributes, and the other ones are not there. So the attributes that you actually build something on, when honesty or integrity or trust is not on a list, well, and you put a bunch of compatibility factors, that's great. That's why I always preface it with saying there are no right answers and there's no wrong answer. So you can't – all there is cause and effect. That's all there is. The world is based on cause and effect, and nobody has them – immunity to that law. That's a universal law of the planet we live on. It's called cause and effect. So if you put a list of things that are all compatibility, then you will get the effects of that, which means chances are, and I do this all the time, people stand up and they do relationship stuff, and I said, well, I'm curious, does your significant other lie? Well... And there's a hesitation. Well, let me rephrase the question. Have you ever seen or heard your significant other lie to someone? Yes. Oh, so you're in a relationship with somebody who's dishonest. Oh, well, they won't lie to me. Whoa, stop. You're either in a relationship with somebody who's honest or you're not. And it's not good. It's not good or bad on either side. It's just it's subject to the law of cause and effect. So if they lie, I call it situational honesty. The situation defines whether they're going to be honest or lie.
Right on. That reminds me of like being a little pregnant. You are or you're not.
That's right. Yes. You cannot be half pregnant.
So, Gary, I think I heard you say when you take out this paper, you put a line down the page. I'm assuming that the other side is top five qualities that are unacceptable.
No, what I to be more specific, I tell them to write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the left-hand side of the piece of paper, and then write down the five things. No, I didn't mean draw a line down the middle. I just simply
meant. Oh, that's how
but
I
one,
heard
two,
it.
Three,
okay.
Four. Yeah, yeah.
Because
no.
I'm so listening to you, I just imagine that it would be the other side of what's unacceptable. It just reminds me real quick of a story with my now ex-boyfriend, but when I was very much in love with him at the time, and we were with his dad for an evening, and his dad said, "I can see clearly you're very much in love with my son." He said, "Here's what I suggest you do. This is what it reminded me of. Take a piece of paper, draw a line down the center, and write the things on the left, everything you love about him, every reason why you're with him. And then on the right, write all the things that bother you about him, everything that is really upsetting to you, frustrating to you on the other side. Now take the side of all the good qualities, take that side, rip it up, because you know that in your heart, that's why you're with him. Now really look at the other side, and if you could live with that, then you have the basis of a relationship."
Right, but that Joyce, that all goes back to a very basic thing that people don't really think about a lot. If you want to have a great relationship, and people can have great relationships, there's not an overabundance of them, but they're possible. But the first person you have to have a great relationship with is yourself.
Of course.
Not another person. It must start inside of you. And until that, if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, but you want somebody else to like it, you have a problem right at the starting line. You have a problem. And of course, we live in westernized cultures. We live with a giant comparison factor, which is extremely self-destructive. I can't even emphasize how self-destructive comparison is, whether it's body shape and size or look or financial status. Comparison is dangerous. It's just a dangerous practice.
Gary, you say happiness is not a person, place, or thing. What do you mean by that?
Happiness in and of itself is an emotion. It is not a person, place, or thing. It's an emotion. The original, if you research happiness going back thousands of years, hundreds of years to thousands of years, if you go back hundreds of years, happiness was based on the arts. It was based on music, artwork, looking at those things or listening and feeling content. If you go back further than that, if you go back thousands of years to the Egyptian times, happiness was based on character. That was its basis. Happiness was based on character and a moral compass. That goes back 5,000 years. So, but what's happened now is humanity in general has gotten the emotion of pleasure and the emotion of happiness mixed up. Pleasure is something in the short term. It's buying a car, it's on and on and on. Pleasure and happiness are not the same thing. They are just not the same thing. People are so geared to short-term gratification that they're going in 10 different directions, and every year it appears that happiness, people make up rules about happiness, and they get farther and farther away from happiness rather than closer. So you know, relationships in and of themselves, relationships, if a person decides that if they're single and unhappy, that they can choose a person and then be happy, what they're actually doing is choosing something external in order to produce internal happiness. Well, happiness is internal. It isn't external.
Yes, so you're saying pleasure versus happiness, given that pleasure is short-term, happiness is an emotion. But isn't it also true that someone will say, this gift you just gave me brings me so much pleasure, it makes me happy? That's
in
how
the
they're linked together.
Well, I'll give you an example. You're 12 years old. You say to your parents, look, I just want this bicycle so bad. Oh, my God, I will be so happy, and I'll be happy. I'll just be so happy forever and ever and ever and ever. I just have to have this bicycle. And you get the bicycle, and a week later, it's a laptop, it's a cell phone, it's a this, it's a that. That's why, see, the things I'm sharing right now, they're not just what I've gleaned from books or from being on the road with 6 million people. They're my own life experiences. The example I gave you about the five things, that came to me in 1988 or 89 or 90 when I had a conversation with a relationship coach, because I had been through a horrible, yes, that's chapter 6, I believe, in my book, a horrible relationship. And he asked me that question. Well, Gary, tell me the top five things you chose in this woman in order of importance. And so I fired off this list of, you know, healthy self-worth, you know, emotionally available, honest. He goes, that's a really great list. He goes, I have to tell you, my clients don't have lists like that. Why did you choose a woman that doesn't have one of those five qualities? And of course,
oh, that's funny.
I was speechless. I'm like, see, what I was doing is I was being politically correct. So I was giving him a politically correct response when the reality of it was I chose a person who didn't have even remotely any of those traits. So
just shows you the importance of writing it down.
So, yeah, I mean, and then you put on top of that things like, well, I've spoken schools all over the world. I've spoken schools in third world countries that would make their education in a third world country. I work with 200 school teachers in the country of Myanmar, which used to be Burma. And I worked with 200 school teachers and the students. And I will tell you, they would put our educational system to shame. To shame.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, I wrote in the book that if I was the Secretary of Education in my first hour in that role, I would make three significant changes in the first hour. No more testing, no more homework, and 50% life skills and 50% academics. And that would happen in the first hour because our educational system.
Why wouldn't you want to test as a measure of what they've learned?
Ah, because testing with a child, in a child's brain, they're not testing their ability to memorize. They're testing them as a person. They're testing them like grading cattle. They're grading them. That's why the whole testing, some of the most expensive schools on planet Earth that charge $100,000 a year do not do testing. They don't test.
I didn't know that. See, I learned something every day on my own shows. Yeah. What was the other thing you would eliminate on the first hour? Testing was one.
Testing. Homework. No homework.
Why would that be? Doesn't that give them more resources?
Because home is for home, not homework. Home is to to create and grow and thrive a home life. It is not to sit at a table and try and figure out things and have your parents ultimately do your homework or do most of it. You know,
no homework, no. Wait, what was the third one?
The third one was a complete change in curriculum, 50% life skills and 50% academics. In my research, all over the world, I ask people, go back to the 12 years of your primary education and tell me what percentage of your primary education has relevance in your life once you graduated from high school. Never mind college, what percentage? No one, Joyce, has ever told me over 20%. Nobody on planet
Earth. Gary, I so agree with you on that. I just didn't know about the testing and homework, how you can measure them at the end of the year. I just say it brings to mind things that got me really upset, like you have to dissect a frog, very important as a life skill. I walked out of the room. I refused to even watch it happen.
Right.
So I walked out of the room. It really upset me. So there's a classic example, instead of a life skill, we're learning how to dissect a frog. And
right.
Given today with all the teenage pregnancy, drugs, and all of that, well, I don't know so much today because I'm out of school for a while, but in my time, we didn't have any of that about birth control, safety, security, none of that. So that I agree with you. I just don't understand how you'd measure someone at the end of the year without the tests and the homework.
Why is there a need? Measure is kind of a relative and broad term. Measure someone. There's many ways of evaluating the person's. Well, let me explain this a different way. It'll probably make more sense. There was a headline article, I clipped it and kept it, that came out in the Tampa Bay Times, which is the Tampa Bay area where I live. That's their major newspaper, and it has a huge reach. The headline read, and it was in big black bold letters, 33,000, it was nonspecific, 33,000 not allowed to move forward. And I went, what is this article about? And I read it, and it was 33,000 third-grade students were not allowed to go to fourth grade because their reading skills were substandard. And I read it, and I went, when are educators going to connect self-worth to the ability to learn to read? When will they connect those dots? Because if there's no self-worth, learning to read becomes punishment, is what it is. And what's worse than that, I do lots of work with teenagers, and it's amazing because when I work with teenagers, I become their equal, not a superior, not an authority figure, their equal. If I'm not their equal, I can't help them. And they tell me all the time, I this just happened recently, I was talking to a 16-year-old girl who had a lot of typical and non-typical scenarios going on, you know, sex and cutting and doing all these things. And I said, so let me see, you're doing all these things purposely to go against your clients. Is that right or wrong? And the girl goes, oh, my God, you're right. And I go, yeah, you're doing it on purpose, aren't you? And she goes, yeah, but nobody's ever figured it out. And I go, yeah, well, I was once 16 years old. I said, and then I went on, and I was on the phone with her for a couple of hours, and I said, you're just doing these things. It doesn't matter what your parents say to you. You're going to do the opposite. You're going to do the exact opposite. Yeah, absolutely. And why are you doing that? Because all they don't care what I think. They only care what they think. I have thoughts. I have, you know, why is what I think not important? And I said, it is important. So you're just getting even. It's a get even strategy. You're going to try and control my life. Well, I'm going to show you can't. And that's what schools do. They do the same thing. I post this cartoon all the time and write a paragraph about it. It's a very studious-looking man in a suit with glasses behind a desk, and then there's a whole line of animals. There's a giraffe and a snake and a fish and a lion and all these things. And in the background behind the desk, there's this giant tree. There's a monkey and all this stuff. And so the educator says, this is how this is going to work. You will be scored and evaluated by your ability to climb the tree. Well, that's the joke. The giraffe can't climb the tree.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, so that's the testing part. So there's a lot more to it than we could discuss. You know, it would take more than an hour, but that's my reason behind the testing.
Gary, from the way this is going, the show, when you say more than an hour, I think we need more than 10 hours.
I find you
fascinating. I really find you inspiring, interesting. And it makes me happy to have you on the show. Let me say that.
Well, thank you. And it makes me happy to be on here. This is my favorite thing in life. My favorite thing in life is to share thoughts with people, especially in the area of divergent thinking. Get somebody to think way outside the box, like making a comment, hey, in life, it's more about unlearning than it is learning. It's more about unlearning the things you've learned. Like, for some reason, you think you're disadvantaged. No, you're not disadvantaged. There's nobody that's disadvantaged. That's a thought process. Poverty is a thought process. Yeah, but how about the people in, you know, Africa? Poverty is a thought process. It's a thought process. When I work
with
women,
well, I kind of know what you mean by that, because people could be in the identical circumstances,
yes,
and everyone could perceive those circumstances differently.
No question. When I speak at women's retreats or in with big audiences, and I do relationship stuff, and I look at the women in the room and I go, I want you to understand something. On this planet that we live on, there is no such thing as an unattractive female. That is non-existent. There are no unattractive females on the earth. None. Zero. There are only females who think that way. Because there's no standard for beauty. The standard for beauty is created within the thought process of the human being. There is no standard for beauty.
Well, one of my standards for beauty is the people that listen to this show each and every day. That's indeed a beautiful thing. And here, in the wise words of our health guru, Beverly Nadler, is why you should be listening.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to Joyce Barry, Barie, and Friends.com. And on the homepage, my picture on the upper left, simply click follow. And right under that picture, and you will get notice of every show, every guest, every topic. So do become a follower. And I just want to say that I'm pleased to say that here in our studio to say hello is the author of that poem and our special guest yesterday's show, The Amazing Manifestation Method. Beverly, hi, I see you're listening intently to the show.
Yes, it's one of the few shows that I actually was able to and wanted to make the time because I was very curious and interested in the happiness formula, which I believe is the name of this show. But listening to Gary, that he was 22,000 books, he's a person after my own heart, and the subject matter, yes. Also, that concept of happiness being so short-term, that's beautifully the way you explained it, because that's the thing, we're always searching for what's going to make me happy now, what should I do next, what should I do next, and of course it's all comes from within, and the self-worth is so important. If we don't feel self-worth, it's pretty impossible to be happy. So I am I'm very pleased to have tuned into this show.
Thanks, Beverly. Thank you.
And
you're
Beverly is the only one, literally, who has a show every week with us since day one, 7 years. She's our health guru. So it's Here's to Your Health Thursday, every Thursday with Beverly Nadler, emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual health. And yesterday's show, The Amazing Manifestation Method. Thank you, Beverly. I always appreciate your shows and when you bop on. Thank you. Okay, back to you, Gary King.
Thanks.
First, let me give the folks your website, which is GaryKingLive.com. Gary King Live. And I love that his name is King because I'm known as the Queen of Radio. So we have the Queen of Radio on with Gary King. I want to start with that you're talking about happiness as an emotion. Well,
right.
You say emotional well-being is not an accident. How so?
That goes back to our educational process. We're taught nil about emotions in school and how to manage our own emotions. And we're not even taught the basics of internal conflict resolution. We are taught literally that happiness is something that lives outside of us. It's an acquisition or a conquest or winning a game or competing or doing things like that. And it is none of those things. Those are just short-term gratification. What's really interesting, you know, when I wrote this book, it's 153 pages because there's a standard nowadays of 175 pages. There's actually 600 pages of content that I condensed into that amount of pages. So there's really 600 pages of material in there. And life, if you think about it, it's all about emotions. That's what life is. It's emotions. It's what goes on inside your head at any given time. And when I do presentations, I tell people, I go, this is how your life works. You may not realize it, but it works exactly this way. You either manage the effects of your life or you manage the cause. And they go, what are you talking about? And I said, everything is based on cause and effect. So original cause, you're either managing original cause of your life or you're managing the effects of the original cause. And almost everybody manages effects. So here's original cause. As a human being, to quote Dr. Eben Alexander from his book, you've always been loved and cherished, and you always will be. There's nothing to fear, and you can't make a mistake. Well, when you start out your life, you either have some semblance of self-worth or you don't. Now,
Gary, what was the name of that book? Because Dr. Alexander has been on our show a couple of times on Proof of Heaven.
Proof of Heaven,
And the Map of Heaven.
Yeah, Proof of Heaven. It's in that book.
It's in that book. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. He's been a wonderful guest a couple of times on our show.
So consider moving forward from childhood with a belief, I've always been loved and cherished, and I always will be. Just take that one thought. I've always been loved and cherished, and I always will be. Now, that means there's an element of self-worth. If you have the reverse of that, if your goal in life is to find somebody to love and like you, and that is your goal, which that more people's goal is that than the other, what happens is you manage the effects of that through your whole life and you don't realize that's what you're doing. You don't realize you're managing effects. So I discovered this through my research and through interviews, and that's why I wrote about it in the book. I go, in order to discover the formula, you have to read the book. I back-engineered myself. I went to 5 years old, and I looked at my life from five moving forward, and what I noticed was I was managing the effects of having no self-worth. That's all I did. It was one managed effect after another one. I didn't manage cause. I managed effects. Once you manage cause, you get a completely different result. That's why being happy has nothing whatsoever to do with a bank balance. Your bank balance is immaterial to your happiness. It might be material to whether you can pay your light bill and have lights or not, but it's not material to your happiness. Your happiness is something that's created inside of you based on A, liking yourself, respecting yourself, unconditionally loving yourself, understanding that. I just wrote a chapter for another book, and I didn't call it mistakes in the movie industry. When you make an error in the movie industry when you're being filmed, it is not called a mistake, because if the director keeps saying you keep making mistakes, the person will keep making mistakes because they're reinforcing it. So in the industry, they call it retakes, not mistakes, retakes. So just do a retake. People beat themselves to shreds for all these mistakes and I chose the wrong person. Yeah, well, choosing the right person requires choosing the things that create a healthy relationship.
Gary, that was a very valuable point, and I so get it because in seminars we talk about customer service. When the person thanks you for something you did in customer service and you say no problem, you are reinforcing the word problem.
Exactly.
So they're picking it up subliminally. So we
right.
teach them to say thank you, I'm glad you appreciate it, whatever you want to say. But in saying problem, no problem, which people say a lot, you are reinforcing the problem.
That's right. That's correct. Well, that goes back to
GaryKingLive.com. You do want to check him out. Go to his website. And I've read also that they're contracting with you to make a movie out of this book.
Yes. And on top of that, PBS as well.
Wow. His new book, The Happiness Formula, The Ultimately Life Makeover, released in May 16, maintains a 5-star rating on Amazon. Gary signed a movie contract for the book with Voyage Media in late 16, which is now. Gary will be releasing a series of books, international seminars, and retreats. You are indeed the Renaissance man.
Thank you.
That's very exciting, Gary. You didn't even mention that it's going to be a movie. That is really exciting.
Well, the as you know from our conversations and from this show, just the little bit I talked about, you know, the whole idea of life is happiness. You want to be happy. You want to have a balanced life. It does not mean that there will not be losses or tragedies or crisis. You're not trying to avoid those. That's not it. What you're doing is you're getting to a place where you understand that life is a balance of those things. But if you don't have any emotional tools or you lack self-worth, you're going to have a really, really difficult time negotiating a life and being happy and healthy. And to add to that, I've written in the book about the human body having two immune systems. It has a physical immune system, which takes care of your physical body. The body also has an emotional immune system, which balances and manages your emotions. And interestingly enough, my research indicates, and it's not my research, it's tons of research from lots of people all over this planet that say your emotional immune system manages your physical immune system. It is managed that way. People go, how can you prove that? The placebo effect proves it. That's what proves it, the placebo effect. It proves that emotions are managing your physical immune system. If you can give somebody a sugar pill and it cures a sickness or disease, it's not the pill, it's the mind. It's the emotion that's curing it, and it's the emotion that creates it as well. Yeah, if you wander around with an emotional broken heart from a relationship situation, and you do that year after year, and you don't get any therapy, any cardiologist and any psychologist pretty much will tell you if you wander around with a broken heart, you will ultimately have physical heart problems. No question. Cardiologists know it, and so do psychologists.
That is something to really take note of, folks, because I've had many surgeons on the shows, doctors, where there's no explanation when someone gets well, a tumor disappears, mm-hmm. and we talk about the power of the brain, what you think about, you bring about, and how powerful mm-hmm. all of that is. I just want to take a moment and share a poem I wrote for this mm-hmm. show, so I'm introducing it right here, right now. I love poetry. I love writing. So I wrote this, I wanted to introduce today, called I'm Happy. It's a simple poem, but it brings home the message. I'm happy, 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 and just why is this so? The people I call friends are a pleasure to know. I love my world of contacts. They are all very cool, always upbeat and positive, very wise, no one a fool. My live radio show and the message it sends says, live your best life. Hear Joyce Barry and friends. We advise you, we support you to be very healthy. We teach you, we want you to be very wealthy. Join us in a home business. We will give you a choice. Be your own boss, make money and rejoice. All that we recommend has been put to the test. Each and every one is simply the best. Live your best life as well you should. Listen to Success Coach Joyce. Be happy, be healthy, and feel so good.
What a great poem.
I wanted to share that. I made it for the show. I created it yesterday.
That's great. That was really great. Yeah, nice.
Thank you,
nice.
Gary. It's something I enjoy doing. I love writing poetry.
Well, you do it well.
Thank you for that. So as we're kind of winding down here, and I can see, Gary, we need about 30 more hours.
Yes, we do.
I'm available for that. We're so on the same page. So just know I will be calling you and scheduling the next date very soon.
I look forward to it.
So what would you like to tell people? What message do you want to leave people as we're kind of wrapping up here?
Well, it's a simple message. And the message is happiness is not a quest, and it's not a destination. It is something you do every day because you understand how to do it. You understand that your life is not controlled by the external world. You are the goose that lays the golden eggs. They're not laid by all the geese around you. And it's interesting, I did a presentation. I know the secret behind the secret. Now, people probably know there was a very popular movie and DVD called The Secret. Well, I know the secret behind the law of attraction, because there's a secret behind the law of attraction, and it wasn't in the DVD. There is a way to manage the law of attraction at will. At your beck and call, you can manage the law of attraction. And it's very interesting because it's not that difficult to do. And it requires the three elements of the happiness formula. Those three elements are the key to managing the law of attraction. So happiness is a choice. It is never your circumstances that define your future. Never. It's your choices, not your circumstances. Never is it your circumstances. It's the choices you make. And happiness is a choice. So is unhappiness.
And that's why I often quote Voltaire, who said, "I choose to be happy because it is good for my health."
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a choice. But people make it dependent on everybody but themselves.
So, folks, I ask you this question. If you appreciate this show, if you choose to be happy, then I ask that you ask yourself the question, if not now, when? Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration. Achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation? To get healthy and off that medication, to get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not now, when? Gary, once again, I say thank you for a great show, an informative show. Folks, it is a great book, The Happiness Formula. Check out Gary's website. I know you can also get the book on Amazon. And what are your final words here to our audience?
It's the holiday season. Choose happiness and do that for the rest of your life. Make that your New Year's resolution, to choose happiness. The book, I did a book signing last night. People came in with their whole shopping list of books. I was signing till my hand was sore. They're giving the books as Christmas gifts. So I know what it took to write the book. I know what went into it, and I know the result it's gotten from people who have read it because they share it with me. So give yourself a gift and read the book and pass it on. It's called Pay Happiness Forward.
And if not now, when? And here is my special prayer for all of you. Make this the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May this be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And folks, we ask you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you can do that starting right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mash.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.